Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur, episode 415. I'm Neil Tyree, your co-host once again, together with my good friend Sam Malai out there on the West Coast. So we're bi-coastal as usual. Sam, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. We're continuing the good energy. We just recorded the last episode 5 minutes ago. We have an amazing topic for this one. So let's do it, Neil.
Don't tell them the secrets that we do two back to back.
We're raw here. We're like sharing it as it is, so we don't mind.
Seeing right. Behind the curtain.
So let's do it. So today's topic is pretty hot topic. I know the title might be a little bit clickbaity, but we have to do that in order to get you to listen to these. But the topic is 5 reasons your law firm's intake stinks. We don't mean to call you out. It's something that everybody deals with all across the board because it's an ongoing art, which is intake. So let's talk about it. Number one is that having the wrong mindset when it comes to intake and treating intake as an afterthought. As I always share, marketing comes down to two parts: generating leads, signing up clients. This second part, signing up clients and intake, is much harder and a lot more sophisticated than the first part. For the most part, generating leads, if you know what you're doing, is relatively easy. If you're having trouble generating qualified leads, then you probably need a program like My Legal Academy to show you how you can do that. But the second part is actually a lot more work, a lot more of an art and science with different levers, different ways, different things that are always adopting that you always have to stay on top of, with a lot more management to make sure that you can be successful with it. So let's talk about this. Why is intake important? Well, intake is the lifeblood of your entire law firm. If you have an amazing law firm, you have an amazing marketing, but you don't have a good intake system, you're always going to be struggling. Okay. So we need to, if that's the case, we need to focus on there. Also, we need to accept that it's ongoing. It's not just a one-off. You know, a lot of things in our law firm, we just created, like, great, you know, it's doing its thing. Intake is not one of those things at all. At all. As soon as you take your foot off the pedal with your intake or you take away your attention, you will see that your intake team or your intakers will not perform within days, within weeks. So it's an ongoing, you have to accept this ongoing work. Sometimes that's on you. Sometimes it's on your intake manager. But whatever it is, it requires an oversight. It requires a manager to oversee it on a daily basis, and sometimes even on an hourly basis, to know what's going on. And we have to accept these things. I like being raw and putting it out there because a lot of people have the wrong perception and expectation of what it takes to make this work. So let's just accept that this is going to take a lot of work, that we have to dedicate time and attention to it on an ongoing basis. And that will be the foundation for what we'll be discussing about and for the rest of the points.
Yeah, I want to just harken back to an episode a couple of weeks or so ago where you made the really distinct point is that it's a mistake to think that you as a law firm owner are the only one, is the only one who can do the intake, can handle the intake function. You need to manage it. You need to oversee it. But if you're spending all your time trying to convert leads into clients, you're not going to be able to grow your law firm. It's just as simple as that. So with that kind of thought, you know, already firmly planted in your mind, then, you know, the points that Sam just made are really important. You cannot treat intake as an afterthought. It's, as I said, it's the most, you know, important part of the job of getting new clients in and having a successful law firm.
And everything that I share, I always have to provide the proof. Like, what am I talking about? Well, right now we're signing up 900 clients a month. That comes out to 30 clients a day that we're signing up. And that took, I didn't get there. That took me like 5-6 years of hardcore focusing on intake to be able to make that happen. And that also requires amazing, amazing staff to make that happen. One of my law firms that right now we're signing up 500 clients a month, we have a director whose main role is to be basically an intake manager. And under him, he has 3 intake supervisors whose their entire role is to manage intakers, track performance, listening on calls, you know, improve things, troubleshoot issues with phone services and, you know, the CRM issues and things like that. And then we have about 40, 50 intakers below these three supervisors who are making this happen. So imagine the amount of time and effort that's going across these 50 intakers, three supervisors, and one director who's getting paid really handsomely, really, really well to make this possible. A lot of people just think like this happens magically. It doesn't. It takes a lot of work, ongoing work on a daily basis to make this happen.
But even if you're not thinking in those large terms, you know, you don't aspire to sign 900 clients up every week. The point is still valid that you have to start thinking of intake as a sales function. And there's a lot of attorneys who have trouble with that. I've heard them say many times, I didn't go to law school to be a salesperson, or I didn't go to law school to be an advertising manager. Well, somebody has to do that. And if you're not successful in that area, you're not going to have a law firm really to practice law in. So figure it out, get to work. It's the area that you're going to spend your most time developing, and it's the one that's going to give you the greatest reward.
So now that we got the why out of the way, Neil, let's talk about how do we troubleshoot these things. Well, one, so let's go to point number two, is accepting that each client source has its own conversion rate. Okay. Well, depending on where your prospects are coming from, they're going to be nurtured differently, or that they're in a different phase of the funnel. Some are going to be problem aware. Let's just say if they're searching for you on Google, well, the more likely problem aware to have a higher intent to hire you. So it usually means a little bit higher conversion rates. Even in Google, it also depends. It depends on whether they came from Google Ads or SEO or local. Each one has its own intricacies. Also, it depends on what they search for. Obviously, there are some keywords that are higher intent. If they look for a lawyer, higher intent. They just have a question, lower intent. If they ask something that has nothing to do with the question, even lower intent than that. But each of those so really matters. But also the source. So Facebook, a pretty big source for us. Much lower conversion rates. However, still realizing that, you know, you're not trying to serve everybody. So let's just say a typical conversion rate on Facebook is about 7 to 8%. So if that's the case, I accept that 92% of the leads that come from Facebook are either trash, they're spam, they're not qualified, or they're wrong phone numbers. I accept it. I don't focus on it. I just try to focus on achieving my goals to get 8% signups from Facebook. And I found a lot of people to focus on the wrong thing. They focus on, I'm getting too many spam or unqualified leads from Facebook. This is not working. I'm like, what's your conversion rate? It's like 1%. I'm like, well, you're not performing nowhere nearly what you need to do. Instead, change your perspective, change your focus to how can I improve that 1% to 8%. Stop making up excuses about the 92% of the leads that don't qualify, and just change your perspective and don't have this self-talk. This doesn't work. That's just going to bring you down. Your results dramatically decreases your chances. Yeah. My whole mindset is, how can I get this number up and what can I do? So just accept, again, for each source, the different things. Referral, if you have referral sources, that's probably the highest conversion rate. So you can't compare your referral sources with Google and Facebook and other sources. So you have to understand what the typical conversion rates. And let me just give some numbers. Again, we mentioned about 8% for Facebook. For Google, 15 to 20%. Okay, if you're not there, there's something wrong with your intake team. TikTok, it's usually going to be between that 5 to 8%. YouTube, 5 to 8%. Referrals, you should probably be 20 to 40%. So be very cognizant of where your clients are coming from and then hold yourself accountable to what that expected conversion rate is for that specific source.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point too, Sam, that potential clients that come in from a referral source, you have to treat them differently. Your standard operating procedure needs to be such that given their identification as a referral, you're going to do things just a little different. You do it the same thing as if they were just responding to a Facebook ad.
And a lot of what I've seen is a lot of people's intakes teams are spoiled coming from being used to signing up very warm referral clients. And then now they start doing Google Ads campaigns, and then those same people struggle because now they're talking to people that have a little bit less intent. And then those Google intakers are now dealing with Facebook leads and they struggle with that. Well, good news is if you have an intake team that could perform well on Facebook, then they could really perform really well all across the board from anywhere, anything. So, you know, think of it like you're training for a challenge. Well, somebody who's training for a marathon is going to be a better, more sustaining, more sustainable long-term kind of runner than somebody who just is looking to train 1 mile. Be very cognizant of that, just to understand that there's like different conversion rate and, you know, have the good attitude about it. You know, for this source, how can I improve it? And just don't settle. Also, that's the other thing too. As soon as I hear things, oh, my intake team is good or whatever that is, I'm like, you're, how do you know it's good? Because what I've seen, Neil, is there's a big disparity between the good, the great, and the best. And, you know, the people that said that it's good, I'm like, you haven't seen anything yet, my friend. You know, I used to have intakers. Somebody comes in my first year, my best intaker would sign up 30. I'm like, I would put him on a pedestal. This person is the best. And then here comes this young intaker who joins our law firm, signs up 45. I'm like, 45? That's like 50% more than my last intaker. This person is the best. And then next year, someone else comes in and signs up 60. 60? Amazing. And then the person comes in 75. So you're, you know, drop all this kind of like thinking that things are great. You have no idea how good some people can perform. Again, it's not like this takes a lot of work and you have to go find the right people for these roles, but you can't just give up on a source just because most of the leads are bad or not qualified. So have that kind of mentality that you could always do better. So let's go to point number three. How could you do better? Well, how could you find better ways to get people to sign up clients for you? What I've seen, Neil, is a lot of people rely on unreliable answering services. These kind of crowdsource receptionist services. I don't want to call out specific company names, but you know what these companies are and what they do. What I've seen is it's not sustainable and not scalable to use those services to sign up clients. Could they be used to supplement your existing intake staff, which we'll talk about shortly? Yes, and they should. So you can have 24/7 coverage, maybe at nights or on weekends. But however, if those kinds of virtual receptionist services is your main sources of dealing with calls, I'm sorry, you're going to be replaced by people who have dedicated intakers, which I think is the primary ideal way to get your client signed up. Look to hire dedicated intakers. These are people that are only on your team, that are trained, optimized, and improved, and are dedicated just to you. If you can dedicate yourself to getting dedicated intakers, you will do well. If you don't, it'll just be a matter of time until someone else in your, somebody who's your one of your direct competitor who has a better team, they will send up more clients. Because they can send up more clients, they'll be able to spend more, and that'll be a kind of like a race to the bottom for you. So look to hire dedicated intakers as soon as you can. I see this trend happening. I jumped to it 6 years ago. I'm beating all my competitors who are, you know, using these supplementary services. So, you know, good advice is get yourself some dedicated intakers.
Yeah. And I think you're, when we talk about this next point here, you're going to see how important that is. I mean, I've seen folks who use a generalized answering service to kind of pre-screen this first level of screening to make sure, you know, it's not a wrong number or it's not a robocall or something along those lines. But the idea is to get that call to a live intake specialist as quickly as possible.
And it's then the, what you just explained, Neil, is not ideal. And a lot of people do it this way. The more steps you have, then imagine you have a 50, just take a framework of 50% drop off for every step that you have. So you just literally cut your revenue by half. But just having a what you thought was like a smart thing to do, which is to have somebody, you know, screening your calls. Instead, if you just consolidate the three levels where you have a, you know, a screener, intake appointment setter, and then you jumping on the line, if you just bring that into one step, which is a dedicated intaker who knows how to qualify and get clients signed up. And then at that point, once you sign them up, then you could do the discovery and the lawyer answering questions and getting the documents, all that stuff. That's the way to go. it needs to, you know, SOPs needs to be created, optimized. You know, obviously this requires a lot of work, but that's the ideal way. Cut down on that. Have one step, one person who can do the qualifying and signing up, and then the advice and everything else on the back end after that.
Sam, can you spend a couple of minutes just talking about how you address the call center approach, or the physical way in which you tie these intakers to the number that the potential client is calling?
One more time, the call centers, what's the
part? Well, yeah. So you've got, you know, several dozen intakers who are fielding phone calls. How are those phone calls distributed to them? Are they in one location? I don't think so.
So usually the backbone is your CRM and a phone service. So what we use, because we're pretty robust, we use HubSpot as our CRM, and we use Alloware as our robust phone service. Not everybody needs Alloware. If you're looking to, you know, if you're solo, you know, whatever, you could look to OpenPhone or RingCentral. That's like the default popular ones. But okay, if you kind of are robust, you have, you know, teams that's growing, Alloware might be a better solution for that. And Alloware and these phone services usually have a round robin where the user is able to select the hours that they're able to accept calls. And then depending on how you set it up, the call comes in, it's rotated, it calls up, you know, just say everybody's phone, whoever picks it up, gets it. What we found is over time, we tried so many different ways of distributing calls. And the way that we optimized it, and the most recent, and this might change because we've seen it change so many times. We're like, you know, we're not tied to anything. We're not married to any kind of system. We just, you know, take whatever that we think is the best at that point. Is what we do is that we do a free for all. Basically, whoever gets it first gets it. And what that does is it basically incentivizes the individual to jump on it, because if they're looking to meet their goals and incentives, then they're going to do whatever it takes to pick it up. Versus we kind of round robin it, you know, whoever picks it up and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of, I don't know, it kind of creates some laziness.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear. I mean, the tool, I'm a little bit familiar with RingCentral, so I can see now how that would fit into this process. And so for those who are coming from nothing, that's, you might want to look at that. That way you can have RingCentral, you have one number, and then that can be disseminated to various intake specialists.
Yeah, and I found
under whatever scheme works best for you.
Yeah,
Sam as if I were you.
So yesterday, somebody actually posted in our Facebook group about phone services, and a couple of people commented RingCentral. I'm not in love with RingCentral. It's the UI, the user interface is a little bit complicated, even for technical people. Okay. OpenPhone, it's a lot newer. It was built from the ground up just recently, a couple of years ago. And the UI is super clean, and it's just optimized to make it an easy interface and easy for any business owner to be able to set it up quickly. So look into OpenPhone. I believe if you go on YouTube and you search for OpenPhone for lawyers, I have a good video that explains it. I also have it's like a promo 10% off for the first 3 months, something like that. You could check it out. It's a good video to watch. But yeah, OpenPhone, if not Alloware, might be the best solution for more robust teams.
All right, let's talk about speed.
All right, number four, speed to lead, not responding fast enough. All right, so I know it's a topic that a lot of people have discussed, and people know the importance of it, but let's share some stats about why it's crucial. First stat, Neil, Lead Docket did this study in 2018. And what I'm about to share, you know, if it's a little bit older, just increase those numbers. whatever the number is, just give it another 20 basis points. So 78% of clients choose the first firm that responds, okay? 80%, just do it based on whoever responds first. Especially now these days when the competition is tough and the people have a lot more options and people's attention span and expectations are completely different than even when they were in 2018, 6 years ago. People just want to get shit done quickly. And so if you lag in not responding or not picking up the phone call within a minute, 30 seconds, people are moving on. Their expectations and times has changed thanks to Facebook and Instagram and now TikTok. everybody's time perspective is off than what it was, right? Neil, we used to sit in our backyard and enjoy 10 minutes off. People, it's nine out of 10 people came and sit in the backyard for 10 minutes with no cell phones these days. It's crazy, right? So that's crucial. Neil, you want to share the second stat?
Yeah, so the clients are 21 times more likely to convert if they're contacted within 5 minutes of reaching out to you. And this is based on some research done by Inside Sales. And it's recognized that the sooner you get to them, the higher the conversion rate is. And like I said, 21% times more likely. Not 21%, 21 times more likely to convert if contacted within 5 minutes.
That just gave me goosebumps. It's kind of weird, as weird and nerdy as it sounds. Next one. Only 18% of law firms responded within 5 minutes in 2023. That's crazy. One out of five were able to answer within 5 minutes, which is pretty much what you need to be doing. By the way, it needs to be within 1 minute, but I think this one took a little bit more concerted 5 minutes. So if you are the one to be the one to respond within 5 minutes, well, you're in the top 20% of your class. So great. You're top of the curve. If you can do it within the first minute, much higher percentage of the curve. If you do it instantly, great. You're the unicorn. It doesn't take much for you to, you know, kind of beat this curve and be able to do well. 56% of law firms respond within 2 hours. Okay, if you respond within 2 hours, you're kind of in the top 50. And then 7% of law firms did not respond to leads at all in 2023. So I guess those law firms don't like money. But the gist of it is, because share the stats all day long, is essentially you need to be able to answer leads within a minute. That's the short gist of it. If you're looking to thrive, looking to do well these days, that's what it takes. It's kind of the hard, cold truth. So make sure that you have the right people and the right systems to be able to make that happen.
You know, I'm a dedicated Clio user, and I went to ClioCon a couple years ago, and they give their annual report that comments on just this type of statistical understanding. And I remember my takeaway, clear as day, I wrote, you know, answer the damn phone. It's really as simple as that. You need to have the intake specialist on the phone responding to the client within a minute. Otherwise, you're throwing money down the drain.
For us, this is like so crucial for us because we spend money for every single call that comes in. Obviously, we actually have a cost to everything. So we know that if we got 21 missed calls yesterday, that's about $3,000, let's just say, of money that was wasted. And what we do is we create a dashboard out of this. It's basically missed calls dashboards. On a daily basis, we have a super tight feedback loop, by the way, on this, on a daily basis, where that's the entire, you know, one of the main things that our supervisors do to keep track of that. And we call people out. Hey, Mr. John, you had 7 missed calls yesterday. If you missed 3 more, you're not getting your bonus this month. And we're pretty hardcore about it. And we don't want any missed calls. And we continue to just track that. And we continue to like look to just bring that number down. It's never going to be 100%. We're never going to ever going to have 0 missed calls. You know, things are going to fall through the crack, but we don't want to see things beyond 20 or more. But again, it takes that kind of tracking to know what's going on. And we also have our supervisors, as I mentioned earlier, who listen in on calls. We do that all the time, and we find a lot of people who are not following SOPs, providing legal advice, or doing things that they shouldn't be doing, or, you know, whatever. You could think about 100 different, you know, red flags that we look for. And we want to closely monitor that so that, you know, we don't have any of those issues. So let's go talk to the next point, which is not being hardcore with your numbers. Common theme among in this podcast is numbers, 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 especially when it comes to your intake. As I shared, you can only scale with numbers. So if you want to scale for each marketing source, you need to know at least 5 or 6 different metrics. Here it is for each source on a monthly basis. You want to know cost. How much did you spend on that source? Number 2, how many leads did we generate? Number 3, what's our cost per lead? It's the cost divided by number of leads. It's cost per lead. Number 4, if you get a lot of unqualified leads, well, man, let's also track qualified leads. Number 5, or whatever number we're on, cost per qualified lead. Number 6, signups. Number 7, most important number, cost per acquisition. The most critical number for each marketing source. How much did it cost us for us to generate clients from that source? As long as I have clarity about this number, and the good news is we have a dashboard which shows us live on an hourly, monthly, daily, month, weekly, monthly basis for each source, all these numbers, so that we can track, are we, one, are we staying within our budget? Number 2, how do these numbers, how are they doing? Number 3, how are they doing in relation to each other? So that we know how to scale. If we see the numbers are positive, we're looking to invest more and more into turning as many of these leads, qualified leads as possible, so as to be able to sign up more clients. And this scalable to the 900 number of clients that we sign up per month, this is the foundation. We only scale with numbers, clarity with numbers. And essentially now it's just all it is just a number game for us. And we just keep very close eye out on all these things that I just shared with you.
And then the key point here, Sam, is your last point is that you use this data in a tight feedback loop to continually refine your strategies, but both in terms of how you're doing your marketing and what dollars you're allocating to the budget. Because if you don't have the numbers, you're just throwing money at a perceived problem and you could be missing the mark, you know, completely.
Yeah, and it's also one of the kind of like the first fundamental things when people join our program, we try to get clear on what is going on, the lay of the land. What are you doing? What kind of marketing are you doing? What are your numbers? A lot of people don't have these numbers and we come in and our implementers come in and help you sort out these numbers. And ideally, we also have a resource to get these dashboards built for you. And that we found it to be super, super valuable. Like literally one of the most valuable things that I have in my law firm is these dashboards. And everybody needs these, especially when you're scaling and growing and investing more into this. This is what's kind of required. And
it's what, allows you to drill down into the data.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically it's just the mindset is you can't scale without numbers. You can't scale blindly. You need to have clarity on what's going on before you take that step to be able to put more money into it. So the 5 reasons why your law firm's intake stinks. Number 1, having the right, a wrong mindset, you know, treating as an afterthought. It's, we talked about how it's crucial to really focus in and on intake and not taking your foot off the pedal. It's not something that you could really automate. You can only automate if you have a good dedicated intake manager who can do it for you. Number two, accepting that each source has its own conversion rate, understanding where every lead is coming from, and holding your team accountable to be able to meet those criteria and those goals for each source, and not settling based on these numbers. You can always improve things once you know what those numbers are. Number 3, don't rely on unreliable phone answering services. Instead, look to have dedicated integrators who can set up clients for you. Number 4, the importance of speed to lead. Short gist of all these interesting stats that we gave you is you need to call the lead within a minute if you want to grow in 2024 and beyond. And number 5, be hardcore with your numbers for each source. And we're going to repeat this. It'll be an ongoing kind of thing because we think it's crucial. For each source, make sure to know your numbers so that at the very least, you know your cost acquisition so that you'll have clarity about scale before you scale. Crucial, important value. If you got value from this, please take a moment to give this a podcast a little review. I really appreciate it. Also, if you haven't joined Lawyer Club, you go to joinlawyerclub.com. It's a free community where we're giving away every resource you could possibly imagine for law firms. Also, if you're looking to get more clients and you're looking to set up automation systems and you're looking to scale and automate your law firm, go to mylegalacademy.com to learn more about our program and how we've helped over 900 lawyers grow their firm. We're also adding a lot of cool things, Anil. We're adding AI implementers into our program right now. We're building a lot of value with that. Also, we talked about intaking. We have 2 intake coaches who are specialized in helping law firms with their intakes. It's pretty cool. They come from a really cool background of law firm intake. If anybody can help you with this, you know, it's our program. Check us out. A lot of good value being shared inside of our lawyer club and inside of my legal academy. And we appreciate having you. Neil, any last
words? I would just ask, why would you want to invent it yourself? I mean, Sam's already done it. And a lot of what he's already done is there available to you in Lawyer Club. And I would say dip your toe there and see what kind of value you can extract from Lawyer Club, and then dive right in to My Legal Academy and get the help that you need and get it done for you. It just doesn't make sense to me to roll your own anymore.
Yep. We're here for you. We appreciate you. Please take a moment to also share this episode with one other person that you know that you think will find this valuable. We appreciate you, and we'll see you on next week's episode.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.